Okay, we're glad everybody is here to be part of this study as we move forward in time and history. We've been finding some very interesting information, very interesting things that is going on the planet that most of us have no clue on what's going on and what has happened in the past. So what we're going to talk about is a little bit about things in the past, how have they occurred, and how are things occurring today. Now, when we look at things, when we look at sustainability, when we look about living, when we look about how people thought, how long this planet, you know, things been going on for millenniums, and how has it been that what is our purpose here on the planet? Where do we find ourselves in this chain of history that's been going on for at least 6 millennia, if not more? Some will say more. It could be. I mean, hey, we don't have a lot of documentation before the fall. We don't know how long people lived before the fall occurred. It could have been millennia. It could have been millions of years. It could have been thousands of years. Who knows? No, but we have no clue whatsoever. But whatever it is, we know since then, we know we've been in this condition where we are now. And so the thing that when we think about it, when we go back to look at Aborigines and we go back and look at the ancient world, and we look at people that live in the bush, as we call it, for some reason we call these people undeveloped. And we call the Western world civilized and developed. Now, all of this stuff of development and non-development and underdevelopment and all of this stuff is based on your economics, based on your technology, and based on materialism. None of it has to do with enlightenment. So when we talk about these civilizations, for some people think enlightenment is technology. I mean, I would just have a discussion, I'll call it, with someone this week, and we were talking about that. And I'm always being told that, hey, you always want to go into the dark ages. You always want to go into the bush. You don't want us to progress as a people, as, you know. I said, progress to what? Oh, yeah, all the technology we have. I said, what is the use of this technology? What is it being used for? It's being used to control and manipulate us. See, so you're even missing the point. It ain't for your good. Like the cell phones and the GPS. The GPS, the global positioning system, that thing was designed for the military and is used by civilians only during times when they said that you can use it. So when the military time comes, then you can't use it. You see, people don't even know that. That's not, you know, that'll be banned. So they're only using this to monitor, control us, and see where we are and put us in a computer system and predict where we'll go. That's what they're using it for. They're not using it for your benefit. But people don't get that. They think that all of this technology and all this stuff is all good. Plus, they're finding out that this stuff is causing cancer, microwaves going through your body, these frequencies and waves that you can't see but is everywhere, is, you know, affecting your electrical magnetic field. Okay, it's affecting the magnetic field of the planet, of the North and South Pole. And we know that through our technology that we've been burning coal and gas and all these fossil fuels, and we've been polluting the planet, and now we're losing the ozone. And we have a hole in the ozone, so we have the greenhouse effect. So all of this so-called greatness that we have is only destruction. It's only materialism. It has nothing to do with enlightenment. Everyone is caught up in this, you know, what is it called? The American dream. even people in Africa and different parts of the world are told that they need to come to America because that's heaven on earth. The streets are paved with gold. These are what the missionaries are lying to the people telling them. And they're coming here and realizing there's no gold here. And then someone say, oh, that's all symbolic. That means that, you know, that you can become a millionaire and you can make all the money you want. And, you know, they just make excuses for all of their lies and hypocrisy. So the question is, okay, in the ancient world and the people who live in the bush today, what are they about? I mean, what is actually going on? Since we call them primitive, since we call them undeveloped countries, since we call them all of these names, you know, when we can't get our way, we make up names for them. That's what society does here. And so I was saying, okay, so the ancient world, I believe, is much smarter than us. The Aborigines are much more smarter than us with all of our technology. Okay? Now, somebody might be saying, now, Emmanuel, come on. You've got to be serious. How can a Bushman be more as sophisticated, as smart as a person here in the so-called Western world who has electricity, who has cell phones, who has, you know, all of this stuff, man? How are they superior to us? How are they smarter? I said, okay, let's think about this. Okay, if we think about this, they had enough knowledge to know that if they went down this path, it would be destroying the planet, throwing everything out of balance, and we would be committing suicide. That's what I mean. They were smarter than us. They realize that. They understand what pollution is. They know what it means to be out of balance with nature and harmony. Right now, we got whales coming up on the beaches. How is whales coming up on beaches? Because the magnetic field is being thrown off. We have polar bears drowning. We have a lot of our animals that we never will see again, ever, because they're just being wiped out because of humans not being in harmony with nature. Even the animals and the plant life and all of these things are in harmony, live in harmony with Yahweh's will, with the will of nature, the will to keep everything in balance except humans. So even the animals and nature is smarter than humans. Everything is smarter than humans, but we reverse it and say that we are at the top of the chain. We are the ones that are superior, and we are the ones, you know, and we're just lying to ourselves. We are the weakest. We are the worst. We are nothing. All we do is destroy. And there's something wrong with that, because in the ancient world, they lived in harmony with nature. They made it a point that, hey, you live off of the earth. So now, like today, as an example, I was hearing that they were saying that now that you get old, you need to plan for getting cancer. You should plan on getting cancer because the food and the environment and everything that you eat and the drugs that you take will cause it. That is a given. So now people not just, you know, in the past, but, you know, had to worry about retirement and worry about that. Now they got to worry about cancer. They got to worry about, you know, taking radiation and chemotherapy, losing their hair, dying in pain, being hooked on methadone, right? Because that's what they give you to, you know, decrease the pain. It's insanity. And we're saying that this is superior living, that we're smart? No. That doesn't even make any sense. But we don't look at it through the eyes of enlightenment. We look at it through the eyes of materialism. How much things can I have? How many things can I possess? When you leave, they're all gone. If you're enlightened, when you leave the planet, that means you have what? Moved up a level. That means that you're closer to the Creator. The way we have it now, the Creator ain't even in the picture. Nature's not even in the picture. Living in harmony with anything is not even in the picture. Not even living in harmony with your family. Not even living in harmony with yourself. I mean, we are just totally waxed. Now, when I think about it, but we can get back. And we have to see the light to get back. Now, some people say, well, we don't want to get back. We love it. We love committing suicide. We love killing ourselves. We love killing everybody else on the planet. We love killing the animals. We love doing everything that will destroy everything for our, what it is, for our gratification of materialism and pleasure for the moment. And I'm like, wow. So, Elena, don't think people want to hear you, what you got to say. Nobody want to hear what you got to say, bro. I said, okay. But if we continue down this path, don't want to be left on the planet to care. Because if you're killing off all the animals, you're killing off all the birds, you're killing off all the trees, then how do you think you're going to eat? You have the bees that go around and, you know, pollinate the plants so that they can produce food. If you can't produce food and then you cut down all the trees and you don't have oxygen, then what happens? You can't even breathe. So we have got to realize that the ancient way is the correct way. And we need to understand what they did in the ancient world, how smart they were, so that we can stop destroying everything and everybody around us. Now, some people think that when you do something wrong or you do something to hurt yourself or hurt the community or hurt somebody, that you're just hurting yourself. But in reality, you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting the people around you. You're hurting your family, because if they depend on you, then they can't depend on you. If you, and so you mess up the community because you're no longer giving to the community, you're stealing from the community. Then it affects not just the community, then it affects your state, your city, your state, your nation. Then it eventually affects the entire planet. So these things that we think that are for ourselves, no, you are affecting everything on the planet and everybody. By continually burning the coal, the people who are going down getting the coal were getting black lungs so that we can have electricity. And then they die. And their family's now without any income, and they got to sue the, you know, coal company, and then there's laws against that. You know, it just becomes a cycle. Did you know the number one killer today? I mean, I remember they used to say, you know, car crashes were the number one killer, plane crashes were the, and, you know, high cholesterol was the, they said the number one killer today is the drug industry, of people taking the wrong drugs. Doctors going, operating on people, taking out the wrong organs, all of these crazy things. That is the number one killer. And I would guess if you compared it to number one and two, I don't know who's first. Is it the drug industry or is it the food industry? Because the Food and Drug Administration, they link them together. And they regulate both of them. They don't regulate one, they regulate both of them. And so we know that we need some of the medical for when we get in a car accident, okay, and you're all banged up and they have to, you know, stop the bleeding, they have to sew you up, or those type of things, yeah. But when you talk about chronic disease that is internal, they have no healing method. They don't even claim to heal you. All they do is say, we treat you. We don't heal you. We treat you. We treat the symptom that you have. But we never get to the cause because we can't cure it. We don't even know how to cure it. But in the ancient world, they would go out into the bush, and it was everybody's responsibility. It wasn't the responsibility of the doctor, the responsibility of the government. No, everybody in their family, the moms, the dads, the children, all had to understand how to go in the nature to get out ginger roots, get out any type of herbs that were for the healing of the nation. But the leaves were for the healing of the nation. And when they went out to eat, they would just pick right off the trees. And there was no GMO. And there was no, you know, monoglodia succinate, MSG. There was none of these red dye, number 10, number 5, oh, yes, RV, it's causing cancer. It wasn't that they said, okay, when you take this drug, be careful, check with your doctor, because it might give you a heart attack, you might get a stroke, it might cause ulcers. No. All that Yahweh has made is perfect. all that the creator of the universe put together. So when they went out, everybody, you know, your mom would go out and go out and just, you know, hey, you need this, okay, they go out and get this herb and they take it for you, sassafras, whatever it might be, lily of the valley. And they would just use it, and it would, yeah, it would heal you. And every year, you would have at least two or three purges in your system, especially to dump out parasites and different things out of your body. So these people knew what life was about. They knew that these things kept them healthy. They knew living in harmony with nature is the only way that we can live. And every society, if you don't matter, if you go to the Chinese, if you go to the East Indians, if you go to the Native Americans, the Africans, the Egyptians, the Kemetic people, the jungle people, everywhere on the planet, they were practicing. Nobody practicing medicine. Everyone was practicing the natural healing. So they knew what was needed. Then, as time went on, I was reading some other places where it was mentioning that the reason why everybody did all of that is because they all learned from one system. I'm saying, oh, whatever, yeah. In the ancient world, when the Kemetic people were running things, they were looking at, when they set up these schools, like today, we have these colleges and universities where they teach you chemistry, biology, psychology, liberal arts, mathematics, engineering, architecture, computer, all of these different things that they teach in nature, all of the different things. They had it in the past that you could not get this knowledge to be a chemist. You could not get this knowledge to be a biologist. You could not get this knowledge to be an engineer. You could not get this knowledge to destroy people. Okay, so today we have it that anybody can go to college, and then once you go to college, then you go work for a, you know, pharmaceutical company, a food acting company, or the military, or, you know, some place, and you have this knowledge, and now the guy's telling you, okay, hey, I want you to invent this, you know, thing. Okay, let me first apply it to the engineering world before I apply it to anybody else's profession. But they would say, what about your profession? You got, my profession is just as bad, and we kill just like everybody else. So when we were supposed to be, we were supposed to think sustainable, and we're supposed to think about the things of how from it's what we call it the life cycle, from when you first design something and when you, and when it dies, or when you're finished using the cell phone or whatever it is, this device or your car, whatever, how are you going to, you know, recycle it, or how are you going to use the parts that are in it to do something with it rather than throw it into a landfill, okay? Or you can't, like radiation, you know, you use these nuclear power plants, you have this radiation that's given off, and it's poison for thousands and thousands of years. So you should never have gone down that path to create the nuclear reaction, so now you can't control this thing. And now you want to know where you want to put it. So where do you want to put it? You want to put it in poor neighborhoods. You want to put it in Native American mountains to pollute their, you know, water supply to kill them all. So you created, we, as engineers, we created that monster. That's what we did. We created something that is totally out of control. So the same thing we did with coal. We used coal, and the people were getting black lungs, and then we pollute the air. Then we put up smoke all over the place such that China says, I'm going to use it as much as I can, man. And the reason why I'm going to use it is because you guys use it, and y'all got ahead. So we're going to use it, and you can't see the sun no more in the middle of the day. And people are walking around with masks because they're all coming down with asthma, and they're all dying. And they just said, okay, now this, that what you call acid rain is falling down. And so now when the acid rain falls down, guess what? The water turns, starts killing off the fish because of the acid content of the water. Then the ground, you can't even grow any more food on that ground because of the acid rain that's in the ground. It's killing off all the plants. So now they can't live there. So guess what they do? They say, hey, we're going to Jamaica. We're going to Africa. We're going to these other places. So you'll see a lot of Chinese moving all over the planet because they can't live in their own land. I remember I was speaking with an African from Nigeria, Dr. O, we called him. And he's a chemical engineer. And I told him, I said, okay. He said, man, this was horrible that we took oil out of the ground, out of Nigeria, took all this oil out of the ground, and when it came out, gas came out. And we let the gas escape, and the gas poisoned the ground and the land such that no one could live there anymore just to get that oil out of the ground. They could have tapped that old gas and used it for gas, but there were some foreigners who was there, Westerners, that were there developing it for them, and they didn't care. And so the government didn't care. And so it just killed. So that whole land where they were doing that, they can no longer grow food there. You can no longer live there. You can no longer even drink water from there. So this is what I'm talking about. So this is from an engineering perspective of how we are killing the planet. And we are killing the people. And so now laws are under Obama. These laws that were put in to say, okay, well, you have to now monitor how much of this coal and this pollution you put out there. And depending on that number of pollution, then we're going to fine you. Okay? And so you only have so much that you can pollute. Okay, so that's the rules that they have set up. Now, under the new administration, they said all the rules are extinct no more, and you don't have to worry about anything, and so now you can pollute all you want. So it's this mentality of materialism and enlightenment that are in conflict with each other. So the question is, so when you look at the foods that we eat today, most of it is GMO, most of it is terminated seeds, most of this stuff is MSGs. And MSG tricks your mind into thinking that you're starving and still got to eat. So that's why people are getting obese and obese and obese. And then we find out that we have these food deserts by design, urban planners, planning, engineering again. So we plan to keep certain areas without fresh fruit and vegetables. And so the only thing that you'll have, the majority, is fast foods and all the points where we can make sure by design, by urban planning, that these poor communities will only eat fast foods which only serve you blood and starch. The blood and starch will cause in your brain acid, cyanide. So you know what cyanide does? Poison. So we're polluting our minds and burning our minds down, and we're wondering why people are shooting one another, why people are killing one another, why black-on-black violence exists. Why would you sell drugs to your own people? Okay? Why would you do that? Because you have acid in your brain. You're an idiot. Okay? Then the other question is, why would you take it? Because you got acid in your brain, because you ain't thinking. So all of this stuff is just this is what they foresaw, and they said, we're not going to have it. So the people in the Aborigines and the people who live in the so-called undeveloped worlds are much more superior than we are. Matter of fact, when I remember when I was taking environmental engineering class with Dr. Hunter, he had showed us some videos and stuff, and they were showing that the people, the common people, at the very basic level in India, in China, in Africa, in the Americas, everybody was saying that we have got to stop polluting, we have got to become sustainable. And I was shocked. I said, young people are pushing it? Young people are pushing it. Why were they pushing it? Because they knew that if they don't do anything about it, that their children and their grandchildren will cease to exist. They'll be all poisoned and killed off. The sun will be shooting all the radiation through the air. We will just be non-existent. So they are trying to stop that. And I said, wow, this is good. This is grassroots common people. And I'm saying, wow, this is, and these are what we might call the third world, developed world, or whatever we want to call these type of people. But they were calling for that. And I was like, I felt, empowered and encouraged. Then when I spoke to my engineers at Morgan, when I'm taking these master's and PhD classes, I'm taking these classes with them, and I'm talking, yeah, man, we need to do this. And they say, man, you are insane. I said, why? He said, because you are naive. You think the work we, as engineers, are going to give up polluting and killing everybody? All we do is build missiles to blow up one another. All we do is, you know, put together more pollution through, you know, our cars, you know. All we've figured out of how to use up more electricity to pollute with coal and Emmanuel, ain't nobody thinking about that stuff. I said, man, we have got to implement sustainable laws to keep engineers and these companies in check. Ah, Emmanuel, we ain't going to do that. I said, what we're supposed to do is design. When I teach a class, I tell them, listen, this is how you design it. The person, whoever's in charge, you know, they're just trying to make money. Your goal is to design things sustainable. So that's not killing off people, killing off your next generation. No, it is up to you as the engineer to design it, not the guy who's paying you. Because when he tells you, okay, hey, you design this, yeah, this is wonderful. Hey, can you cut the cost so we can make more money? And then you keep cut the cost, but you gotta leave the sustainable stuff in it. Anyway, he was an idiot anyway. He won't know. He's just busy making money. So he won't know. You're the engineer. You're the only one that know that you can keep in sustainable things. It might cost them a little more money, but you're saving the people and the planet. It is your ethics that have to be addressed. It is your laws that we have to put in to protect these professions from killing off the planet because of materialism. Now, remember, we talked about enlightenment. Now, you're enlightened when you go to these colleges and you learn how to, you know, mix these formulas together, and you're enlightened because you know how the chemistry works, and you're enlightened because you can build a bridge and you can fly a plane and you can... Okay, fine. Now, the question is, in the ancient world, the common person, they said this knowledge is too powerful for them. This knowledge is not for everybody. And then I started thinking, why are you saying this? And they're saying because you can see that now that you have anybody able to do that, what are they doing with it? They're using it to poison and kill us. So you have to have a system in place that the only people that can get this college knowledge, this knowledge at this, what they used to call a secret society, that's what some people call it, in this behind the closed door, because that's what college is, secret society. If you don't go to college, then it's secret. You don't know what it is. It's a secret society. Okay, so stop, you know, acting like, you know, that they're doing different things than anybody else. No, they got a secret society, and they got a secret world. And they teach you secret things, and you go home and you go do it. So in the ancient world, they said that before you could even get to this knowledge, you had to be spiritual. You had to be a seeker of enlightenment. So if you became a sinner, then you would not put chemicals together that would give you heart attacks and, you know, and red fever and, you know, give you the measles and, you know, all of this crazy stuff. You wouldn't be doing that because morally you would have moral limits. And they only allowed the priests to dive into this knowledge because they said that they would look at you, and some people say, who makes that decision? Well, hopefully we have manhood training. We have female training. We have all of these manhood and femalehood training, and during the years, everybody's watching you. Everybody's seeing how you're developing. Everybody's seeing what moral compass you have and where you are. And then they would pick out of those people, of those that would be the ones that would keep the community in mind, that they would be the people who would say, yes, we're going to go and we're going to use herbs. We're not going to use drugs. We're not going to separate them and do all that crazy stuff. They're the ones who are saying, yes, we have to figure out how to get food and at the same time to make sure the food has the nutrients and minerals that it has. Not that we're going to put the TV dinners together. We're going to put all of these things that you don't have to do anything, throw the microwave, and you don't know what poison is in that stuff. So these would be the only people that would have access to this knowledge. And so I said, wow, these boys would be These boys had the same universities we had, taught all the stuff that we had. All we did is copy from them. That's all we did. We just, same labels, you know, astronomy, astrology, everything, biology, biochemistry, all that stuff, everything that we got, they were even beyond us because they even dealt with the spiritual world, which is a whole other study. We will one day maybe get into. But just from the physical plane, they limited who had access to helping people or hurting people. And so I said, wow, that's what we need today. We need a limitation of this knowledge so that the big companies don't have access to these people and take them down the wrong path because they're just interested in money. Especially have people that have high moral characters who are going to have access to this so that they can do what is right and look at the big picture. Not look at the little picture of how much money I can make, materialism. And so that, I brought that to people's attention. You know the response I got? Emmanuel, ain't nobody going to do that. Emmanuel, you should not limit knowledge like that. Emmanuel, I'm saying, well, wait a minute. Okay, what is your solution to this? We have a big mess. We have people poisoning people through the food, through the water, and they buy it every day, and they have food deserts where people cannot get access to it through the urban planners, through the architects of these cities. I mean, come on. Okay, what is your solution? If the common person did not have access to this, then these big corporations could not be running. They could not operate and be poisoning us like this. That doesn't even account for the education system and how they're conditioning us and how the media is conditioning us and how, I mean, that doesn't even account for the psychological warfare that's going on, including the biochemical warfare. We're not even considering all of that stuff. But if you didn't have access to this biology and to these chemicals and to all of this stuff, then you couldn't do this to the people. And the only people that would have access to that is those that are of a most spiritual character who's seeking enlightenment and understanding that when they hurt you, when they hurt, they're not just hurting you, they're hurting the whole community, they're hurting the whole city, they're hurting the whole state, they're hurting the whole nation, they're encompassing and they're hurting the whole planet. So we have got to figure out ways. I mean, they had the perfect way. I mean, that if you don't have access to it, then you can't do it. The people tell me, oh, Emmanuel, you're crazy. Knowledge should be open to everybody. I said, well, if knowledge is open to everybody, then everybody can kill one another? Come on, man. Nah. This is crazy. Whatever. I'm just saying that's what they used back in those days. So what is our solution today? If we're talking about, that's why we're talking about we're restorers of the breach, repairers of the breach, restorers of the path to dwelling. This is not new knowledge I'm talking about. This is all ancient knowledge. And the people that had it, I remember they said the people that had it, that set up these universities and all that, were in Kemet. These priests, that's who they were. They were priests. These priests would go to the world, and that's what Moses was. Moses learned all the wisdom of Egypt. He was a priest. He was in the line of kingship. So when they left, these different priests, you know, after they trained them up in Kemet, then they would go to different parts of the planet. They would go to India. They would go to China. They would go to America. They would go all over the planet. They would go to Australia. They would go all over the planet and teach people this knowledge, but would teach it from a spiritual perspective and would tell you, okay, yes, you can do all of these things, but you must come from it from a spiritual aspect. So it's not strange of why in every Aborigine society, every place we go, we find that everybody believes and teaches that you must live in harmony with nature. That's number one. You must live in harmony with the creation. You must live in harmony with the plants. You must live in harmony with the animals. You must live in harmony with the sun, with the moon, with the earth, with everything. You can't be polluting the planet. You can't be polluting the earth. You can't be cutting down every tree. You can't be doing these things that are bringing everything out of balance. And what happens once everything goes out of balance? Then nature itself turns on you, because nature is saying, you know, hey, okay, this is how we keep everything in line, by keeping everything in balance. Now when humans take everything out of balance and start destroying the planet, then nature itself turns on us and is destroying us. And that's why we have these big, you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, all of these different things that we're having out of, you know, the nature is just, you know, saying, hey, man, we can't, you are throwing so much out of balance, nothing is okay no more. And so we have to understand those aspects. There's a lot of things to understand. There's a lot of things for us to be able to eat right. There's a lot of things for us to treat each other right. And if your brain is fried with blood and starch, ain't no way you're going to be able to see anything that I'm saying. Most people will tell you, man, you are. It can't work. I said, if it don't work, how are we going to survive? Because if we just keep killing off each other and blowing up each other, that ain't solving nothing. If we want your gold, we want your silver, we just take over and wipe you off the planet. If we want your land, we just wipe you off the planet. If you don't cooperate with us. So then I thought, and I said, oh, this is what's making sense. The book says, the Bible says, that in the last days, that you're going to run across, in Revelation chapter 13, that there's a beast that comes up out of the earth, having two horns like a lamb. And what's a lamb? That's supposed to be following Jesus, right? So what nation on this planet says that they're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice? Well, there's no other people. No nation says that they're a Christian nation except America. So there's your lamb, this beast. But he says, the Bible says also, this lamb, like horn, animal, he's like a dragon. The dragon is the devil. So we're going to speak with forked tongue, as the Native Americans said. But we're going to have the Bible Belt, and we're going to send missionaries all around the world to keep white supremacy, to keep laws that are unlawful. Now, most people don't know, but, you know, Hitler and his regime, they were Catholics. And that the people who were the SS, Secret Service there, SS, they were monks. So the church is usually behind all of these different things. Sad to say that, but that's the same thing. It's like the Crusades. You know, the Crusades was, you know, blacks against whites. The church against the Moors, and the Moors was black people, but they'll try to tell you the Moors is Muslim. So with a Catholic, you know, versus, you know, Christian war versus the Muslims, which it wasn't, it was black versus white. The whites, Western world, wanted to wipe off, you know, us off the planet. That hasn't changed. So all of these different things we conscrew into all of these different things, and we have to come around to a place where the Bible talks about this two-horned beast that speaks like a dragon, that he's going to cause an image, he's going to create an image to the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, that this beast, that this image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast should be killed. And I'm like, whoa, what does this mean? Yeah, what does it mean? Okay, it's saying that that the United States and the Western world would create this image to the beast, mom, that can speak,
make laws, as I see it, make laws, and then have the power to enact to kill anybody and everybody that does not obey their laws. And so I thought about that. I said, well, what type of organization do we have today that has that power? And guess who it is? It's the UN. I said, wow. The UN has their power from all the nations around the world, voting and all of that stuff. But there's only a few members that can have veto power. All of them are Western nations. Well, most of them are Western nations. I think they finally let in China and Japan because of their economic power. But the rest of them are all, you know, regular, you know. And so, you know, and anyway, they just pay off people anyway to vote the way they want. And so I would just think about that. So that means that, and so when we went to war with Saddam Hussein, I remember Bush saying that he's saying that this is the second crusade. I know most people never even realize that's what he said. That, yeah, this is the next crusade of the church, you know, the United States, the Christian nation under God, is now going to go up against an Islamic nation and in Kuwait. And he called it the crusade. I'm like, wow, this is insane. And nobody heard it. And nobody said nothing about it hardly. Few people picked it up. So it's the same thing that it was doing before. And then I remember that the people said, no, you're not, why are we going to war with Saddam Hussein? He said that, well, because of, you know, oil. And I think they voted and said, no, we're not going to war with oil. Then he said it's a national emergency. And then he said, no, they said we're not going because they don't see that this is a national emergency. Then he said that we're going to war because the UN, remember, we said that the UN would speak and cause as many as would not worship the UN or the beast should be killed. And so basically what they were saying was that now they gave the power, they made the UN enact a law to tell Saddam Hussein to get out of Kuwait. He said no. And so even though he was on our, you know, CIA payroll, Saddam Hussein, but he decided that he's not going to obey the United States anymore. He's not going to obey the UN. He's not going to obey none of you guys anymore. And so they said, as many as will not worship the beast should be killed. So worship is but by obeying. And today we have these superpowers that thinks they're God. That's the God. We talk about Baal, and we talk about, you know, those are the gods of today. The gods of today is the gods of medicine and the gods of war and the gods of all of these different things. And so we as a superpower, we tell people and nations to do these things, and if they don't do us, we just take them out. And that's what happened with Saddam Hussein. And that's what happened with the UN. That as many as would not worship the beast and his image. These are the new gods. And how do you say these are gods? How could these be gods? Well, listen, the government, they will tell you that they're all seeing. They're all knowing. How are they all seeing and all knowing? You give them access to all of your transactions. You give them access to every conversation you have. You give them access to where you are on the planet. In basins, they know everything about you. Okay? And they're all powerful because if you don't cooperate, they'll just bomb you to death. And that's what they told Saddam Hussein. He wouldn't cooperate, so they just bombed him to death. They said, we never even went in on military footmen. All we did was bomb them from the air back into the Stone Age. I'm like, wow. So these are the new gods, superpowers. Man is now thinks he is God. And how does he offer up people? It's real simple. In the ancient days, they used to offer up human sacrifices. That's what we're doing through the medical profession. If they're the number one killer on the planet, we're using it all the time. We're even offering up human sacrifices. This is insanity. We read all of this stuff that used to be. It's existing today. The churches don't see it. Nobody sees it, but it's staring us in the face, and it tells us this is what would happen. And this is what's happening around us. Every minute of the day. The new gods of this world. And they do make laws. They do, if you don't obey them, they do put you to death. If it's, you know, on a nation scale. So just imagine if they're able to make laws like that and then wipe out entire nations, and then they would overthrow governments and they'll set up puppets and all of these different things, and everybody's scared of us. Look at everybody. We have garrisons in all of these places. What are garrisons? These are thousands of troops that we have in different locations around the entire planet, the Philippines and everywhere, so that we can say we're protecting you. That means, guess what? Your government has to obey us. So they sell out for military protection. I mean, this is everything that the book says is happening. And the average person has no clue that these events are transpiring all around us. But we're listening to conditioning. We're not enlightened. We're not eating right. We're not seeing clearly. We're not understanding. We're not on the right wavelength. We're not on the right frequency with nature, with the creation that he put here. And as long as we're out of link with that, we're out of connecting with him. And if we're out of connection with him, then everything is just from that. And we'll never be. But they have all these movies that are telling you this. That's what, you know, a lot of the movies are telling you. They're telling you all of these things are going on. But we're so blinded that they can show you everything that they're doing to you, and you still not see it or even believe it. So what is it going to take? I don't know. But I do have a better idea of how the ancients looked at it and how we should start reshaping our thinking of looking at life and reality. Are we here just to make a buck? Are we here just to live, to be entertained, or to be connected to the matrix? Believe in the lie about the American dream? That's what we're here for. Are we here to collect as much material stuff as possible? Or are we here to be enlightened so that we can make the next journey, that we can be connected with nature, and we can help others, and we can grow in grace and the knowledge of the Creator? That's what I've been looking and thinking about as it moves through this week. So, let me hear your comments or thoughts.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate what we've done to the earth, but, yeah, it's just going to get worse. I guess you didn't know, but they actually cut back on the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. That's one of the big cuts they're making. And they've, of course, you know, they're increasing the defense. So you'll see a lot more, I guess, happening to our environment with, you know, an increase in coal, an increase in oil, an increase in pipes, increase in all these different things that will affect our environment. But, I mean, that happens with every change of administration. They have different goals. They have different visions on how this country should be led. So pretty normal thing when you jump between presidents. Yeah.
And the EPA already had a low budget already, and they couldn't even keep up. So they're going to be cut some more. That means
cut by millions. They're going to have to lay off a lot of people.
And millions of dollars.
Of course, increase the defense, increase weaponry, increase military, increase all those kind of spending so that we're in better shape for nuclear war and all that other stuff. So
to become a greater god in this world.
Yep. So that's where we're at. And some programs are going to be completely gone. I don't know. There's a long list, but I remember UTA being one that was being cut by a lot. And then on Earth Day, he tweeted, "Hey, you know, happy Earth Day to the Earth," and got a lot of backlash for that because people were like, "Tell that to the EPA. Tell that to the Earth that we're destroying." So, but a lot of people actually, some people actually believe that, you know, global warming is a myth, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, they don't believe in that stuff.
Right. All right, the other two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah, it might be.
No comments, you guys? Just Jabari?
No, no, I don't have any comments.
Yeah, that's
good. You some good points.
But I guess you could see all that we've been saying. So then one thing becomes very important, especially while y'all are still young. Depending on who you choose as a mate will determine the DNA of your children. But the, I mean, the children is only the DNA that comes from, you know, both parents. And the thinking of the parents will determine your situation and your and the next generation and the children who are coming up in this generation of what will there be. Like you'd be compared to, you know, if your mother is a crack addict, then the child, when they're born immediately, are a crack baby. So these things of whatever, whoever we connect with or to have children with, or even just for ourselves, even if we say, well, I'm not going to have any children. Okay. Even if you don't have children, the environment that you find yourself in, the environment that the person that you're with, their thinking of this is going to be very important. Because like I said, I mean, I speak with someone and telling me that, listen, you don't, all the stuff you believe, all the stuff, you know, ain't gonna happen. And it seems like we are at the point that we're saying we have to accept this trash, this lifestyle that we're handed. And there's nothing we can do about it. No, there's a lot of things we can do about it. But we have to do something about it. We have to determine who we will hook up with, who we will hang out with, who, you know, the people will be around, our children will be around. That's why we took you guys totally out of the system. Because we knew that through the education system, they would condition you guys. We knew that depending on where you lived and so forth, that they would just feed you blood and starch to destroy your brain cells and have acid in the brain. We knew that living in certain cities, you know, you're breathing in the, we didn't even talk about that, the pollution that comes out of all of these cars and the emissions. We took you out to the places so that you can grow up around farms and farmland, and you can go to farmers markets to get your food from the locals versus, you know, the TV dinners and all the rest of that stuff. And I noticed one thing, the Africans, Jamaicans, all of these different people, the Mexicans and all of these different people, they make their own food. They do not spend their time buying McDonald's and, you know, these fast food. They do not spend their time doing that. A lot of them make their food from ground zero, scratch. And I know some people say, you know, oh, man, we can't do that today. That's too time-consuming. Well, if you don't make your own food, if you just eat their food, you could know you're being poisoned. They are giving you something that, you know, you use all their MSG, GMO, whatever, Terminator food, all the different things. And so I just thought that was so interesting, that different cultures have these different things. And we look at them as if they are inferior to us, when in reality they're superior to us. And now, as I mentioned earlier, that the beast and the image of the beast will cause both small and great, it'll come to a point where they will implement that if your nation doesn't follow, then we will boycott you. And I remember Jamaica has been boycotted, all of the African diaspora countries have been put in poverty because they did not cooperate with the powers that be, the UN or the Western powers and all the rest of that. And they were killed. The leadership was killed. They were massacred. And I'm just thinking, wow, how could the Bible know all of these things and say all of that? Is this inevitable? And how far is this gone? And how far is it going? And how long would it take before we, as a people, wake up? Or will we stay asleep, wishing and hoping for the impossible? So that's what I was, I realized. And as I, you know, talk to people really, you know, are not down for any of this. And I was told point blank, no one will accept all of this stuff, Emmanuel. Give up all of this, what we call material luxury. But if it's killing you, why would you want it? Well, we're not conditioned to believe it's killing us. I just, you know, just as we are all trying to find people who have a like mind so that we can do these wonderful things, we have to, you know, seriously help them see the light and see if they want to follow it. If they don't want to follow it, up to you to decide. Do you cut them loose and keep moving, or do you stay there? And, you know, but you can't change people. People are going to have to want to be free, want to no longer worship these gods of this world, no longer, you know, get caught up in this American dream, this materialistic plane. You have to look at, you know, the spiritual world and try to move forward in that direction. So it affects us in more ways than one. Well, if no one has anything else, if we have someone offer up a word of prayer to close out for us.
Oh, dear God, thank you for the discussion. Thank you for the reading. Thank you for the understanding. continue to bless us and keep us and open up our eyes and renew our minds as we continue to grow each day. In your name I do pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen.